Strong upper-level weather disturbance is expected to drop into Indiana from the upper Midwest on Wednesday. That will once again bring chances for showers. Strong high pressure will build in the wake of that system and then bring cool and dry weather through the end of the work week. In Champaign-Urbana today, showers and thunderstorms are expected the rest of the day, with the high around 75. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of more showers and thunderstorms in the evening, with the overnight low near 55. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high again around 75 degrees. And Tuesday night, partly cloudy, the low about 50. Wednesday, slight chance of afternoon showers again, otherwise mostly sunny, with the high around 68. And again, it should remain relatively cool, at least for now. It looks like likely dry for the remainder of the work week. Highs in the upper 60s to low 70s, lows in the mid 40s to low 50s. There is a slight chance for showers this weekend. And there's a flood warning in effect until 7 o'clock tonight for Ford County in WILL's severe weather coverage area. Right now, take a look at temperatures around the region. In Kankakee, 64 degrees. It's overcast and 66 in Macomb. In Danville, 72 degrees, overcast skies, 73 in Decatur. At Willard Airport, it's 73 degrees, winds out of the northwest at just 6 miles per hour. The relative humidity, 81%, the barometric pressure, 29.86 inches and falling. And outside our studios on Friends Plaza in Urbana, it's 70 degrees. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Afternoon Magazine on listener-supported public radio, WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Ever sit through that conversation with your parents about how they walked 10 miles to school, uphill, both ways? Well, a new generation may tell similar tall tales to their kids thanks to the Safe Routes to School program in Champaign-Urbana. As part of our series on efforts in the region to increase health and wellness, Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports.
It's still a school bus. We're just a walking school bus.
Emily Svensson of Urbana lives a couple of blocks from Wiley Elementary School in an area of town where there aren't any sidewalks. Still, she makes sure her kids walk to school. She and her neighbors take turns walking as many as 10 kids to and from school each day.
Maddie? What about Maddie? I told Maddie we'd walk her.
She's not here today.
Oh, she's sick.
She picks up her daughter, a student at Wiley Elementary, along with several other kids, who say walking is a highlight of their day.
It's usually really nice in the mornings, the cool crisp air and the frost crunching under my feet.
I really like it. It's just you can get some good exercise, especially once a nice day.
I like it because I get to spend time with my friends and I don't like driving in the car as much as I do walking in the mornings.
That was Aaron Miner, Isaac Lee, and Fia Svensson. Fia's mom, Emily, says in addition to the peace of mind that comes from knowing that these kids are safe, she's made some great friendships with other neighborhood parents.
You don't really get that same sense when you're sitting in your car, waiting for your child to come out and run to the car. But also just, you know, it's building exercise into your day, getting fresh air on a regular basis. I just love that neighborhood school feeling, you know?
And to help maintain that feeling, the federal government doles out more than $180 million to states as part of the Safe Routes to School program, $21 million of which went to Illinois this year. The money helps support infrastructure projects and bike safety campaigns, like this one released a couple of years ago by the cities of Champaign and Urbana.
In Champaign-Urbana, there are many places bicyclists can be found.
We ask bicyclists and motorists to be alert for each other.
We want to see you sharing the road.
But no matter how much money you put into efforts, like a walking school bus, there may be some resistance from people concerned about safety. Brandy Clegg lives about a mile from Wiley Elementary. She usually drives her 8-year-old son to school, but a couple of days each week, a parent of one of her son's friends watches as the two kids walk to school. Clegg doesn't talk to many of the other parents in the neighborhood and doesn't have a large network of parents to rely on like the Svenssons do. But she admits a walking school bus sounds like a good idea. Still, she has concerns about letting her child walk to school every day.
I worry about somebody kidnapping him. I worry about, you know, cars running him over, hitting him. We have older kids in the neighborhood that, you know, I don't trust them. They can be mean. And the whole bully issue.
I know what it's like, you know, to be that parent and want to protect to, you know, the ninth degree, you know.
That's Rose Hudson. She helped launch the CU Safe Routes to School project, an effort in Champaign-Urbana to promote physical activity.
We have to look at the other side, and it's like, are we overprotecting them to the point of health risks?
Hudson says she hears stories from parents all the time about why they don't want their kids walking to school. Hudson worries not doing more to boost physical activity among youth will add to the country's obesity epidemic.
You know, I think the big thing that people need to think about is that the habits that you instill in your kids when they are young are the habits that are probably going to stick with them into adulthood.
According to a nationwide travel survey in 1969, 48% of elementary and middle school students walked or biked to school. But by 2009, that figure dropped to 13%. While safety and convenience are two reasons parents drive their kids to school, distance can be an issue. While in Urbana, students tend to go to school close to home, in Champaign, they can usually attend any Unit 4 school regardless of where they live. That can create obstacles for students who want to walk or bike to school but live too far away to do it. Gabe Lewis is a transportation planner with the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. He worked with Stratton Elementary in Champaign to find solutions to the distance issue.
We have some strategies to combat that, where one thing is a park and walk program where parents can park a short distance from the school and then the parent and child can walk the rest of the way to the school.
Lewis says to help out with the park and walk program, an enhanced crosswalk will be built east of the school thanks to a recent Safe Routes to School grant. Nearby, Eureka Street will also get a block of new sidewalk, and Neal Street will get permanent speed flashback signs. Meanwhile, the wheels are in motion for a regular bike education course at Champaign's Booker T. Washington Elementary. PE teacher Derek Cooper envisions running out bicycles for all of his K-5 students and then going over basic safety tips before allowing them to ride on the school's blacktop.
I'm really into doing non-traditional things like that. I started a yoga unit that was highly successful that I don't see, you know, other elementaries really picking that up on and doing with. I'm just all about the lifelong activity. So thinking after they leave me, after they leave this program here at Washington, how are they going to stay active?
And that's a big question. How are these kids going to stay active? Safe Routes to School is intended to play a big part in that. The U.S. House considered a bill this year to eliminate federal support for the program. Republican Congressman Tim Johnson of Urbana is a member of the House Transportation Committee. He introduced an amendment to preserve the funding, but it failed in committee.
I think that in terms of our effort to try to curtail childhood obesity, to provide safe routes to schools, to provide for a bike-friendly, walking-friendly nation, that these cuts send the very wrong message.
But Republican Congressman John Shimkus says with the nation's economic problems, the country could, for now, go without funding for safe routes to school. Shimkus represents the southern part of the state, but he is running for re-election in a new congressional district that includes parts of Champaign County.
I do understand how safe routes to school is probably pretty important to a university community that prides itself on its ability, but it's not that big a deal in 33 counties of southern Illinois. We're rural, we're small town, we use buses and we use cars.
Geographical challenges aside, Margot Pedroso with the Safe Routes to School National Partnership says rural communities do have a stake in Safe Routes to School funding.
41% of it actually goes to small towns and rural areas. They often struggle with a state highway that runs right through the middle of town, separating kids on one side from schools on the other. And even though drivers are supposed to slow down, they often don't. And small towns don't have the tax base to do these kinds of infrastructure improvements on their own, and they don't have the resources to bus kids.
Pedroso says the road improvements that are part of this funding could help alleviate such safety concerns. Meanwhile, Champaign and Urbana have so far been awarded more than $630,000 in federal funding under the Safe Routes to School program over the last few years. The fate of the program, at least in the immediate future, rests with a special congressional committee that's working on crafting a transportation bill. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood.
Our children are our treasures. I've participated in Safe Routes to School. It's an important safety program, just like the transit safety program is, and it's one of our top priorities. I can't even conceive that they would eliminate the money to get children safely to school.
Whatever happens to Safe Routes, a community's interest in that neighborhood school feeling, may just be the ultimate test over whether the walking school bus maintains legs of its own. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
For more on this story, visit willconnect.org. Next Monday, Sean will look at efforts to teach nutrition in the Urbana School District. Our media engagement and initiative on health and wellness is funded in part by a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation. Six-term incumbent Senator Richard Lugar hasn't had a primary challenger since he was first elected in 1976. His first challenger in five re-election attempts is Indiana Treasurer Richard Murdoch, a Tea Party favorite. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith now reports on the primary race that's brought national attention to the Hoosier State.
The primary fight between Richard Murdoch and Richard Lugar really began back in the middle of 2010, when Murdoch was approached by Republican Party members who he says were frustrated and felt like Lugar had fallen out of touch with Hoosiers. Murdoch admits he had some initial doubts when they asked him to run against the longtime senator.
I was shocked, obviously flattered. I often said to them, what did I ever do to you? I mean, I felt like I was being thrown under a bus a bit.
Since he announced he would run, the race has taken a decidedly negative turn. The ads airing across the state on TV and radio are almost entirely attacks, from charges that Lugar isn't a real Hoosier to claims that Murdoch isn't a true conservative and will do and say whatever it takes to win an election. But Murdoch says he's run a fair campaign.
The campaign we've been running, all those commercials that have my voice saying I'm Richard Murdoch and I approve this message, always talk about the votes of Mr. Lugar.
A lot of the negativity has been generated by groups outside Indiana pouring money into the state. Murdoch says he's disappointed by the power of the so-called super PACs, and that's an area where Lugar says he agrees.
I wish that either people had dispersed their money over several campaigns, or that Indiana was not the entire focus of this kind of negative advertising.
Part of the reason that such national attention has turned to the race is that it represents a fundamental shift in the Republican Party, a schism between people like Lugar, a bipartisan lawmaker once called President Obama's favorite Republican, and Murdoch, who says that way of thinking doesn't work.
It is bipartisanship that's taken us to the brink of bankruptcy. We don't need bipartisanship. We need principle. One side or the other must prevail here.
But Lugar says that angle won't be effective.
It'll be interesting watching him rant and rave, but in terms of actually getting anything done, persuading anybody to do anything, the answer will be about a result of zero.
Lugar says there is sometimes a need for bipartisan action.
It's not a question of giving up your views, of becoming less conservative. It's a question of becoming more persuasive, of having the better arguments.
It's precisely that frame of mind that led, in part, to Governor Mitch Daniels' decision to publicly endorse Lugar in the primary. Daniels says he counts both Murdoch and Lugar as good friends, but his personal relationship with Lugar goes back more than 40 years.
I felt I owed it to him, and I happen to think he's a tremendous asset for the state that we'd be less well off without.
Murdoch says he understands some personal ties Trump politics, such as the fact that Lugar is the godfather to Daniel's oldest daughter. But he says he doesn't think Daniel's endorsement will shift the balance of the vote. On election night, it won't just be Hoosiers watching Indiana's Senate race. Pundits and voters alike will tune in to see what once would have been considered unthinkable, a possible Richard Lugar defeat. I'm Brandon Smith.
Did you know that you can support WILL without sacrificing income that you may need during your lifetime? Leave your own legacy for the future of this station. Join the Legacy Circle visionaries who have provided a gift through their estate. You are an essential part of our future. For more information, call Donda Beard at 217-333-7300 or online at will.illinois.edu/support.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 7th of May, 2012. It's the birthday of Archibald MacLeish, born Glencoe, Illinois, 1892, famous for his poem Ars Poetica, a poem should not mean but be. It's the 80th birthday of the poet Jenny Joseph, born Birmingham, England, 1932, author of the poem which won a BBC poll in 1996 for most popular post-war poem in the United Kingdom. It's a poem entitled Warning, which begins, "When I am an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat, which doesn't go and doesn't suit me." A poem which inspired the Red Hat Society, whose members dress in purple and wear red hats, even if it doesn't suit them. It's the birthday of the novelist Peter Carey, born in the Bacchus Marsh, Victoria, Australia, 1943. He wrote four novels, all of them rejected, until his short story collection came out in 1974, The Fat Man in History, which won great critical acclaim. He won the Booker Prize twice with his novels Oscar and Lucinda, and again with True History of the Kelly Gang. His characters, some call them losers, he calls them battlers. He said, a battler is someone who struggles forever and will never, ever really get anywhere. And in Australia, that's a really honorable position. His latest novel, The Chemistry of Tears, just came out this year. It's the birthday of the 18th century French feminist Olympe de Gouges, born in Montauban, France, 1748, who said, if woman has the right to mount the scaffold, she must equally have the right to mount the rostrum. She was involved in the French Revolution. She supported it until she came to feel that the plight of women was ignored by the revolution. And she wrote,